After these messages, we'll be right back.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Are you in good hands?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to After These Messages, where we bring you hot takes on commercial breaks. That's right, we're here to talk about TV commercials, good ones and bad ones, and ones where people say weird shit like this.
Take your photo with the fish! Photo with the fish here!
My name is Andrew Walsh, and I'm here with Genevieve Haz. Hello, Genevieve.
Hello, Andrew.
I am excited about this show.
Nice.
So coming up in a little bit, I'm not going to tell you what the main topic is yet, but coming up in a little bit, I heard some people on sports radio complaining about some commercial that is being, I guess, broadcast somewhat incessantly during the NBA playoffs. And so I'm like, well, what's so bad about this commercial? So then I dialed it up. It's an AT&T commercial. And I watched it and I was like, it seems relatively benign.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a couple of I'm assuming basketball guys in it. I don't know who they are. They sing some song. I don't know what the song is. I don't know anything about basketball or culture.
Yeah.
So a little bit later, for a few minutes, we're going to be calling up our basketball and culture correspondent, Nick Jaron,
nice.
Who's going to help us through that commercial. But before we get to that, we're also going to talk about bosses in commercials. I don't know if you heard me giggling, like laughing really hard, and then getting like the major giggles today from a commercial that I saw. I think it's a new Progressive commercial.
Yeah.
I asked you if you'd seen it, and you'd seen it in the wild, I think. I watched it twice in a row. I couldn't stop giggling about this
one line.
It just nailed this one line. And so then I'm like, well, maybe we can kind of build around that and talk about commercials and how they depict bosses and boss culture. And then, I know it sounds like I'm being a hype man today, but I'm being quite serious. I don't know if I've ever been so excited to get to the Ad Council. I want to get to the Ad Council right now.
Yeah.
Because somebody sent in an email. They heard us play a jingle on this show. And they're like, that doesn't sound quite right to me. This is how I remember the jingle. Which then led me on a journey that paid off in multitudes.
All right.
So that'll be coming up with the Ad Council. I'm really excited for that. If you guys are like kind of sick of me, you're like, I don't know if I can handle a whole show today, just skip to the Ad Council if nothing else. I mean, give Nick a shot, I would say, but certainly stick around for the Ad Council.
Yeah, I think we get the download number regardless. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Tell your family and friends, rate and review. Can they rate and review? Yeah, probably.
I no longer ask anyone to rate and review this show because I don't have any way to access the ratings or reviews. So to me, it's doesn't look like anything to me.
Doesn't look like anything to me. Anyway, rate and review. let's start by talking about bosses.
There's a time for love and a time for living. Take a chance and face the wind.
How did you find the strength to not sing along with that line?
I don't know this. I mean, I know what it's from, but
it's
I didn't watch.
Who's the Boss?
Yeah, I know, but I didn't watch that show.
Oh.
And so I don't have like a visceral response to the theme music.
I see. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize I was doing that as it was coming out of my mouth. But all right, let's do a little Use the Boss here. I don't know what that means. Let's
U-Y-O-U apostrophe S.
Yeah.
Not Use the Boss.
More like, who's the boss? Use the Boss.
Use the Boss.
Use the Boss, boss.
Yeah.
So this Progressive commercial that I was telling you about that was making me chortle so hard today, it actually takes place not in an office place or a workplace at all. It takes place at a campground somewhere, and there's a fella like, this is a big part of Progressive's campaigns, are trying to get you to bundle your home and car insurance, or like car insurance with like boat insurance, motorcycle insurance,
right,
all
RVs.
These things. So that's why you're seeing a lot of Progressive commercials, I think, especially as summer is ramping up, of people kind of enjoying the outdoors in various motorized ways, right?
Yeah, there's one actually from the same, hard to say it's a campaign because obviously it's all one extended campaign with Progressive, but kind of the same like idea, where Flo's talking to somebody about like getting boat insurance, and he's talking about how great it is to be like out in the wilderness where nobody is, and then seconds later, there's somebody like doing a selfie and like trying to be an influencer.
There's a huge line of people waiting.
This place. And I was thinking, I did a whole show, I don't know, sometime last year about commercials that are influenced by influencer culture that are reflecting that back to the culture. And I wished I'd had that one.
In fact, you know what this is from?
Take your photo with the fish. Photo with the fish here.
That is from that commercial. Oh, it's like the internet tag on it that you don't see on television.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this guy's like, boy, I'm just really enjoying, he's out there with Flo and just really enjoying this tranquil moment by the lake. And then he says, boy, I hope that we can enjoy this before everybody else discovers it. And then suddenly there's just like a line of people, like influencers, and this woman with a selfie stick saying, like, I just discovered this lake. And I can't remember the words she uses. She uses good, like, self-helpy modern words to say what she's doing by the lake. But anyway, so in this one, though, they're out. So there's one guy, and he's out camping somewhere at a campsite. And you see his RV and his boat or whatever. But who's out there with him but the whole Flo gang? You got Flo and Jamie and the other one and the other one. Can you remember the other one's names right
Maya
now?
Maya is the woman. Is the okay, other woman. Yeah, and I don't know
guy.
If I ever knew.
We did know
I guess
the other
he has a name,
name,
but I don't recall what it is.
We do this every single time. Sometimes iSpot helps me out, but this time it is is it Alan?
It's Alan,
yeah. Okay, so anyway, just as often happens in these commercials, you got one person, let's call him a normal person, standing in for us, the consumer, and then this whole gang of progressive agents that are just like kind of kicking it with him, and so they're all sitting around the fire, and the guy who's just kind of the stand-in for the customer is kind of like, boy, it's so great to be camping, and I'm getting a call from my boss right now, but I'm not going to take it because I'm on me time and no time to pick up the phone for the boss.
Phone call from the boss? Sorry. Outdoor time. It's me time.
I hear that. That's why we protect all your vehicles here. But hey, nothing wrong with sticking it to the boss.
Oh, Flo, you going to take that? Why would that concern me?
Okay, so everybody's like, Flo, are you going to take that, stick it to the boss? And Flo's like confused, like, why would that?
I love her delivery of that line, why would that concern me?
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like you could read it one of two ways. One is like, she's legitimately like, I'm not the boss. Like, mm-hmm. why would that concern me? And the other, I feel like there's like a cryptic reading of it that's, she knows she is the boss, but she's like playing it very cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, why would that concern me?
Why would that concern me?
So, anyway, there's this awkward moment where everybody's looking around like, is Flo our boss or not?
Oh, Flo, you gonna take that? Why would that concern me? Because you're the... Aren't you the...
Huh. We never actually discussed hierarchy.
Okay, why don't we just stick to letting Dave know how much he can save when he bundles his home or auto with his boat or RV?
Wait, I thought Jamie was the boss.
It's funny because I'm not boss material.
That is, of course, Jamie. So when the guy says, I thought Jamie was the boss, and everybody starts laughing, it's right away notable that Jamie is also laughing at that. Like, of course I'm not the boss. I'm the last person to be the boss. But then when he just yells, it's funny because I'm not boss material, I was not expecting that line. And I just started laughing
so
in
good.
My office so loudly. I can't remember the last time I was just laughing that loudly by myself in a room.
That's an absolutely stellar and like, It's so emblematic of what's good about those progressive commercials with the gang and mm-hmm. with Flo. Like, they really nail the writing. The performances are so good. I love it.
Jamie's the best, man. I'm so glad that...
They all are, though. I mean, even Maya... Maya has grown on me a lot. And Maya's, like, awkward, like, oh, I thought... Like, she says the unspoken thing, you know? And then you can see
her faltering.
And it's a good performance.
You know, I was thinking about her today because I was going through some of these progressive commercials, and I rewatched one that I believe we've talked about on the show. And again, I think this was from last summer, and it was the same deal, like kind of a bundling thing. And it's like the gang is in a car. They're on a road trip somewhere, and they stop off at a rest stop. But instead of going to the area where the cars should go, Jamie goes to the area where the boats and RVs and trailered vehicles are supposed to go. Do you remember this commercial? And they're like, oh my God, it's a whole different side.
I don't think I remember this one.
I should probably just play it for you, but I'll just continue describing it. they, you know how like when you pull into, you know, off the highway and into a rest area, there's a, usually a sign that says if you're in a car, go in this direction. If you're a trailer or a truck or whatever, go in this direction. So Jamie goes in the wrong place and they're all like, oh my gosh, it's the other side of the rest stop. And they're like, whoa, like one, Alan is excited about the wooden picnic table. They're like, is this oak? And like everybody's just finding something to be fascinated about on this whole other side.
Yeah.
And then you just have Maya staring at a vending machine and her line is 4 different kinds of beef jerky. This is where I live now. And I was like, that is such a, I mean, it's not the funniest joke in the world, but like, yeah, her character would be really into beef jerky.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, that is so much better than just different kinds of chips or, you know, flavor blasted whatever. Like,
yeah.
She seems like a beef jerky gal. I'm like, they're pretty good at building out this universe.
They really are. They've done the really impossible thing, which is they've prolonged this campaign without making it too far from the center to be still good.
Yes.
They've expanded the universe to include characters that still work within the comedic writing. It's really an achievement.
Yeah. That's always a complaint of mine is when a commercial sort of loses its center after a while, or a commercial campaign rather. Like I think that I often complain about the Snickers, like Hangry commercials, great concept at first, but then they just started to get more and more celebrities and to work them in, they sort of reversed engineered their own commercials so they didn't make sense anymore. You know my feelings about the T-Mobile girl.
At length, yeah.
At length. It started with her just on a blank white screen, like total simplicity, and then it ended like years later with her like on some sort of a crotch rocket motorcycle speeding through Taiwan or some shit. And you're like, just like, what happened here? Anyway, back to bosses. While we're on the topic of bosses, I'll be honest, I thought I was going to find a lot more.
I thought it would be
so.
This seemed like an
tropey,
an SEO paradise.
To have, like, oh, the angry boss or the boss over for dinner, which is such a weird trope. Like, when's the last time we've ever had a boss over for dinner?
That's we
such
had my boss over for dinner, like, less than 6 months ago.
Oh, that is true. We had game night. Yeah, that's funny. Like, I just think of him as a friend now. So
yeah.
Maybe, but like the old like 1960s trope of you didn't tell me that you're bringing the boss home for dinner. Like, what is this boss's situation that he's just random? And it was always a he in that case.
Wow.
That he's always just like coming over to an employee's house for dinner.
Yes, I mean, I said it a little tongue in cheek because we are good friends with one of my bosses, and so we also socialize with him, but. I do think that there was a time in American business culture when male employees, I mean, it was all very mm-hmm. gendered, of course. You know, we all think of like, I remember the one in Mad Men where they have like, they're trying to showcase Heineken for the boss and some clients. So they have her like showcase Heineken for, as like their international dinner night.
Yeah, I guess that was more clients coming.
I guess it was
dinner,
more clients, though. But it was all sort of a piece,
right?
Like you're trying to impress somebody.
And so you get to see the home
very
life.
50s and 60s.
You get to see the little lady and the
little
home
lady.
Life and how that reflects on you, the employee.
Right. And like, are you, you know, McMillan material or whatever?
Right. Are you a McMillan man?
Are you a McMillan man?
Exactly. So anyway, you know, I was Googling around and I think the SEO is a little bit just messed up on it because when you type in boss commercial, you first of all get a lot of like Hugo Boss,
yeah.
And like various boss brands. But then also in modern commercials, you get a lot less of the stereotypical angry boss often at the office kind of thing. And you get more like, you're the boss,
right.
And now you're going to use our
or
software
girl boss
for this,
or whatever.
Girl boss, or this idea of just like being a boss, or you're your own
and
boss.
And you maintain that I got myself in bad odor at an employer once because I had a joke mug that said "like a boss."
Yeah,
I got at a previous job, ironically, I received as part of a White Elephant gift exchange this big coffee mug that just said "like a boss" in big capital letters on
big
it.
Big black mug with white block letters,
right.
"Like a boss." Huge.
Huge. I mean, the mug was large, but it wasn't like comically large.
But then
it was
the
just,
lettering was very
the lettering
big.
Was,
it sent a
it was,
statement.
It was a statement, but I mean, I just thought it was like funny. Like, you know, you do things like a boss. It was a saying at the time.
Still is.
And it remains one today. I put it on my desk at a new job.
Where you, for the first time, or maybe for the first time, had more than one employee
working for you. I guess kind of a boss.
Yeah.
And then I subsequently, like, some people really took a dislike to me, and one of their complaints about me was that I was, like, I thought too highly of myself as an executive or whatever, which I maintain was wildly off base.
The opposite of true.
In terms of how I really felt, how I felt about my position there. But that was their story. And you always said, like, it was the mug. The mug did you in.
Well, I don't think the mug did you in, but I don't think the mug helped. And if somebody, it did not seem like an office that understands sarcasm very well.
I met
a bunch of these people, and also there was just like a lot, it sounds like there's a lot of politics involved.
It really
and
was
I do
a,
think that like the idea that people thought that you took yourself as a boss too seriously is the most comical thing. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't have the ability to manage,
but I'm just not like
people,
that.
But that's not. That you don't take any pleasure from, like, quote unquote, like, power
no,
in an office place or something like
that. Absolutely
not. So, yeah, anyway.
It was wild.
Okay, so what I did find was, I think what I was picturing was basically FedEx commercials.
Yes.
Like, I was like,
they've done so many good
show,
boss commercials.
Back in the 90s, especially, so many office place commercials. So I'm just going to play two FedEx commercials here that focus specifically on the boss or the power of the boss or whatever. This first one, I guess it doesn't really matter to our listeners, but it's almost a bummer for you and me, Veeves, because the video quality on this is pretty rough, and so you can't see this very clever ways people disappear. But basically, you have some angry boss storm out of his office, and he says, "Who shipped something or other to somewhere or other?"
Yeah.
Right? And then everybody gets scared, and everybody just camouflages into the background of somebody. Like, and it's in a very clever way. Like, one person turns his back, and then his shirt and head matches the painting behind him.
Nice.
So he just blends in. But then his white pants look like the wall. Another person somehow, like, basically doesn't transform, but completely masks themselves into a filing cabinet or whatever. Everybody disappears except for one young person in the office who is taken off guard, and the one person who, you know, doesn't have time to hide, essentially.
Got it.
Hey, who shipped the 200 boxes to our client in Boston? Was it you, Lewis?
I shipped them with FedEx.
You're a heck of a man doing a heck of a job, Lewis.
I love that line.
Trust FedEx for proven reliability.
The visual jokes in that are fantastic. You mentioned
it's
a few of them.
A little grainy, unfortunately.
One of the other ones is somebody who's wearing like a khaki sport coat, and he folds himself over his desk so that he looks like a bunch of poster tubes, poster shipping tubes.
He sticks his arms out,
right.
So his arms look like poster tubes. He looks like a pile of shipping materials.
Oh my gosh, that's great. FedEx is, we've talked about this at length before, but like they really nailed a kind of humor that took place in an office, or like they based a lot of humor around like office culture, and like had some great jokes to go with it.
They had another one. I'm not going to play it here because it's very visual, and I want to not just make this the FedEx show, but the FedEx also has or had some sort of a golf open, like the FedEx Open. I don't follow golf. And so they would air FedEx commercials during these things and kind of mention the FedEx Open. And so we have two golf-related commercials. One I'm about to play for you. The one I won't play for you was like, you just see it like a big office space, mostly cubicles, but also like some actual offices too. And everybody's quietly working, and the phone rings at the front desk, and the receptionist picks it up, and she says, "Oh, hi." They even make it very clear. Like, she answers the phone by saying, you know, "Daniel's company." And "Oh, hello, Mr. Daniels."
Right.
"Oh, you won't be coming in today? Have you seen this
one?" I have. Like, as she goes through these beats with the boss, like, "Oh, you're not coming in today," you see all of the people in the office grab their
golf
bags and start to head out. But as she continues the conversation, it's like back and forth, like, will he be coming in? Won't he be coming
right.
in? Will they get caught? No, they won't. So they like, they kind of vacillate between going out to their golf game and staying in the office.
Exactly, right. "Oh, so, but will you be coming in for the 2 p.m. meeting?" Everybody sits back down.
Yeah.
"Oh, you want me to forward that to your home office?" They all stand up again. And then
right.
So that's the one golf commercial. This is the other one. I think this is the That one, we don't see the boss. He's only on the phone. This time, this is a different boss than the one we just met in that commercial where he was, where he says, you're a good man and you're doing a heck of a job. This time, we see a boss in a conference room, and he is talking to three of his employees, but they're working remotely. The boss is in a room by himself, but there are three employees, and they're in a conference room somewhere else. And they're sitting all facing the camera together, not three different squares. They're all in the same frame, sitting shoulder to shoulder talking to their boss.
So we will get that schedule revised and sent right out to you, sir.
That sounds good. Listen, I should be back in the office on Tuesday. I'd like to see an updated P&L.
Very good, sir. Yeah. We're all over it. Right about take care.
Okay. So as they're talking, saying we're all over it, you see the office background behind them falls over. Like it was a fake background, but this is pre-Zoom. Yes. So it's like a physical,
piece of paper that they've mocked up to look like their office, and it collapses behind them.
And as it collapses behind them, you realize all three of them are actually on a golf course somewhere and they're just pretending to be in the office. So the jig is up. The boss sees it. The one guy, suddenly we're on the golf course with these guys. The one guy, without thinking about it, freaks out, just takes his golf club and just hits the computer with the golf club and knocks it off of the golf bag that they had it propped up on. And you would think it would end there. But unfortunately, he doesn't quite kill the computer.
So we will get that schedule revised and sent right out to you, sir.
That sounds good. Listen, I should be back in the office on Tuesday. I'd like to see an updated P&L.
Very good, sir. Yeah. We're all over it. Right about it.
That was close.
Yeah, it was close.
I can still hear you.
I think we're good.
Yeah, that should do it.
He can hear them all the way through. I think we're good. That should do it.
Yep, and then it says, proud sponsor of the FedEx Cup or whatever. That one's really good, isn't
it? I love it.
I don't know if I was able to translate it to the audio audience.
The boss's performance, although understated, is terrific.
Very deadpan.
Yeah.
I really like this one.
I can still hear you.
And then at the very end, we're back in the office with him, and you can hear them saying, that one did it. Okay.
And it's like, it's so stupid. Even if they had successfully broken the webcam, like, the jig was up the second the thing fell over. Like, it's done. Like, just breaking a piece of office equipment is not going to help your cause at this point.
So when I saw this next commercial today for AirTran, it seemed familiar to me. I'm not sure if I've seen this before or not, or if I've just seen commercials like this. This one, well, why pick favorites? But this one might be my favorite. I'm not sure. But nothing's going to beat that first one.
What I'm learning from this show is that this is a rich comedy vein.
And I need a boss like, hey. who did that song? Do you remember? I'm not allowed to ask you that, am I?
I think it was... something with a K, right?
I think it's a. Let's see here. Oh, Sharifa.
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 That's right. But that I was wrong on the syllable.
I love that song.
It is
so
a good song.
Much featuring Ludacris. Okay, but anyway, this commercial is for AirTran, and it doesn't take place in an office. It takes place on an airplane, and they're basically advertising that they have free wireless, or at least maybe not free, but they have wireless available, like Wi-Fi. I think this is from 2008 or something like that. And we see both of these guys are white, I think, and one of them is clearly the kind of white-haired older boss, and the other guy is like a much younger, kind of nerdier guy. And they're sitting next to each other on the flight, and the employee starts to tell something to his boss, like reminding him of a meeting coming up. And the boss says, don't tell me that. Email me that.
I have a question about the shareholder meeting.
Sure, just send me an email.
But you're sitting right next to me.
Well, just because we're on an airplane doesn't mean we change the way we do business. Just send me an email.
Okay.
Send you an email. Boss gets it.
Another email from that suck-up Brian about the shareholders meeting. Watch this. Delete.
Now, for the listening audience, the boss tells the young man, email me it, and then he is talking to the young man.
Yeah.
He's not turning to a third person. He's talking to the young man in the third person and then gets this devilish grin on his face as he deletes that guy's email that he just asked
him. He clearly
doesn't
realize the guy he's traveling with is Brian.
You think that's it? I thought he's just like...
He's just big dogging him?
Kind of big dogging him.
I thought it was a clueless boss who's like so checked out or whatever about his subordinates that
he just thinks this
is like Steven or something.
That makes more sense. I thought he was just big dogging him, but yours is probably true. So he says, just email me, but he doesn't make the connection that the email that comes in immediately is from the guy sitting next to him. And then he turns to the guy next to him and he says, watch me delete this thing.
Okay.
Oh. Another email from that suck-up Brian about the shareholders' meeting. Watch this. Delete.
Wi-Fi.
And the look on the boss's face, like getting so much joy from deleting that email, is wonderful.
It's okay.
I do find it
confusing because... Unless you're right, and it's either way, I'm confused. If you're right and he's just big dogging him,
or like a psychopath,
he's a psychopath.
Yeah.
And if I'm right and he's confused about who he's sitting next to, he's a moron. So he's either a moron or a psychopath. And just as always, when the people that they are using as their proxy for the customer is somebody who's completely unsympathetic, I'm always like, I don't know, product. That's a bit of a weird swing.
Yeah, that's interesting. It seemed to me to be in the vein of the FedEx commercials in a certain way, except that I guess in the FedEx commercials, the boss isn't an idiot.
Sometimes the boss is an idiot in a FedEx commercial. They've had a lot of different bosses and office mm-hmm. scenarios, but regardless of whether the boss or somebody else is an idiot in a FedEx commercial, the person using FedEx is always a fucking genius.
Yes, no, that is true. Yeah, and this person, in this case, they're advertising Wi-Fi on the plane, so it sort of doesn't matter too much. But all right, this next commercial that I have for you does not actually feature a boss. Andrew, you're thinking to yourself, well, then why would you put in a show all about bosses?
But then I think, I look back on all the other shows that you've produced, and that it's of a piece.
That was not an invitation for you to criticize my podcasting skills. Thank you very much. But it is it refers to a boss. So this is actually a commercial for eHarmony. I am very excited to get your take on this. So okay. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to play it. And then I'm just going to sit back.
Is this old style eHarmony or is this new style eHarmony?
Good call. This is from just 5 months ago.
So it's a new style. Because old style eHarmony, although very creepy and awful, is also a rich vein of comedy, I think, unintentionally.
Well, I'm really interested in your take on this. So this is a commercial that I think is supposed to be aimed probably at women, or at least I think the woman in this commercial is probably supposed to be the relatable one.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing for other women who are watching this. And it's like a part of their get someone who gets you is their campaign, I think, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And you see her, she's walking up some apartment stairs. She clearly lives in a walk-up, which that is also signifies sort of an age, a class, a place in life, right? She's a young woman. She's carrying her bag, and she's just had she looks tired, right? She just looks like tired at the end of a long day. And she gets home into her apartment, and the fella, who's clearly her partner or boyfriend in some way, is apparently like a DJ / musician or whatever.
Yep.
And he's behind his DJ table. I assume they call it a DJ table.
I was recently helping a DJ set up for an event at the university.
Did they call it a DJ table?
Well, we had a table all set out for him to put his equipment on.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't need that table. So the only thing I did to help was move the pre-existing table out of the way.
Yeah. So you got in the way and then you got out of the way, essentially.
Exactly.
Never get in the way of a DJ. So anyway, she's tired and she's coming home and her partner is in the apartment already. And he's like mixing some beats and singing her this song about her day. I'm dying to get your reaction to how this makes you feel. She walks in. He puts on his headphones.
Your boss's name is Heather and she made you have an awful day. So why don't you forget her and let me sing all your problems away.
Get who gets you.
Oh, that is when you're on the edge of your seat. Is this going to be a very unwelcome performance at the end of the day? she looks exhausted.
She looks super exhausted.
Wrung out. And she's got a very like kind of low key, obviously she works in an office, like a probably like a somewhat, you know, her style is like just a little drab. So, you know, you wouldn't think of this as someone who's like going to the club or whatever. But her boyfriend is this sort of very different. He's like just a different, seems very like different to
he's
her.
He's just wearing like cargo shorts and oversized t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like this is the scene you would not want to come home to.
Exactly. But when he gets to the part where there's like a triple, like a clap, she joins in and just, and gently does a little clap, clap, clap with him and then kisses him on the cheek and
and then starts dancing.
And then does but tiredly. Like
yeah,
she's
tiredly,
she's
but,
still
but
tired.
Kind of grooving though. And
but she clearly just like appreciates this effort and it's something that they share. It's like, I think these ads are so good and it really gets at the get who gets you. Like that nails it. That's very successful.
I am so surprised and I am so glad we set it up that way. That is why I wanted your reaction to this.
What was your reaction?
That's why I was saying at the beginning, like, I think this commercial, and I think eHarmony has gotten better at trying to appeal
exponentially.
Yeah, like all various kinds of
human
couples,
beings,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Who aren't disgusting.
And this one I mentioned, you know, it seemed like this is probably aimed at women, maybe, you know, women her age or whatever. And it's relatable. But I was just like, oh, my God, this is such a turnoff. This guy is such a loser. And I know that's the point.
The point is you're on the edge of your seat.
At the end, but like I never felt the twist. I'm just like, oh, my God, girlfriend, you like this guy? Like what a dummy.
But that's the whole thing. Like we are often with people that wouldn't be right for anybody else. Like he's got a very specific thing going on. But clearly they are mm-hmm. in it together.
Simpatico. Yeah.
And I love that. And clearly, you know, the implication is that they met on eHarmony, started dating, and now live together.
Yeah.
So it's a very successful relationship.
Yeah, exactly. I like her little dance at the end. But you've turned me around completely, and I feel like I was missing the point of that.
I think
that's
the point
really...
is you're supposed to be wondering, is this going to be unwelcome?
Yeah. All right. So
it's like that one there's a similar one, which I'm sure is also eHarmony, where two women are sitting in a nail salon, and they see, we did it for the mime show, where a guy starts miming at a girl and then she reciprocates the miming and he's like pulling her in on lasso or whatever it is. And the two women who are watching this unfold have sort of a similar reaction where they're like, I don't know about this. It's so goony. But then they're like, I think we love this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually give voice to the reaction that they want you to have to this one.
Did we like that commercial? I thought we didn't like that commercial. How do we feel about that commercial?
I thought the commercial was a success.
Really?
I mean, we generally...
There were some other mime... Like, most of those mime commercials left a really bad taste in our mouth, especially a McDonald's one.
Well, I think that...
So I'm getting it all confused.
Yeah,
now.
It wasn't the McDonald's one. That one was legit mm-hmm. awful. I think they specifically chose miming for that ad because it's so universally reviled mm-hmm. as an art form.
Yeah. This next one I think is interesting for a very specific reason. The boss in this commercial only shows up very briefly, but when I was thinking about what is the stereotype, when I look up boss commercials, I'm like, they're mostly going to be white men.
Although not in that case, that her boss is named Heather.
That's right. Boss is named Heather. I picture them being like kind of white men, corner office-y kind of Johnson, get in here,
right.
You know? But what I like about this one is, it's a different type of boss that you don't want when you've been in the game for too long
okay.
and you have a younger boss. So the point of this commercial is, this is for NerdWallet, by the way. So and the point of this is make good decisions with your money now so that you're not working when you're 102 years old.
Reporting to someone who's
super
a fraction
young.
Of your age.
And so what we see is a very elderly man coming into a room in his house, which is clearly like his office. He's still in the workforce, but he's very elderly. He's like using like some sort of a futuristic walker. But like this is not 2024. This is like 2044 or something like
right.
that. And because you can see, like, the computer screens are just more like hologram sort of. It looks like pretty much like a modern apartment like you'd see, but the technology sure. is about 20 years or 30 years in the future or something. And this is like the old version of you talking to you, saying,
like, the me now.
Yes, exactly.
Talking to the me then.
And he's going to come into this office, and I think there's a woman, an elderly woman in here too, and she's still working too. And I assume that they're partners, maybe a married couple or something, but they're like, quote unquote, us in the future, and they're kind of mad that we made bad financial decisions.
Hey, it's me, your future you. You made some bad money moves.
Now we're totally screwed.
Didn't fund your IRA.
I thought NFTs were a better play.
Now you still work at 103.
Your boss hasn't hit puberty.
Who's ready for their performance review?
Don't make your future you. Hey, you.
Start making smarter financial decisions today. NerdWallet.
It's a great pitch, isn't it?
Oh my God. It fills me with
anxiety. Somebody called NerdWallet.
I know. But yeah, very, very effective and really like gets at the heart of what I, why I kind of obsess over our investments and things like that.
Really well done.
Yeah, great.
Like, I just love a commercial with a good pitch and a good purpose, but then dress it up with the song is good.
Sure.
It'll get stuck in your head. Don't let future you hate you.
Yeah, have a good slogan, good little memorable story, good performances. Yeah,
I terrific. Like the song. And then when we hear the young boss say, who wants a performance review? He's on like a computer, they're working remotely, which again is another signifier, I think. Let's see, when did this come out? This came out 4 months ago, so it's not like this came out during the pandemic. But
we all know
work
that remote
from
work
home is
never
going
away. Yeah.
No, that's not true. The Seattle City Council is going to force people to go back to work because it's the only way we can save our city.
Yeah, right.
All right. So this one is interesting. Again, we were talking about kind of diversity here. You don't want every boss to be some white guy, right?
I like the FedEx boss, the second FedEx boss.
Yep, he was black.
Middle-aged black man.
Yep. This one, the boss is a woman, but she's like very severe. I almost wonder if this is a different stereotypical, like a problematic stereotype, but maybe I'm just looking for trouble because I'm a snowflake. But we see like a real boss lady walking into some sort of corporate tower somewhere, and she's like walking fast, and she's surrounded by like a bunch of, her employees or whatever. All of the vibes of this woman is so powerful. Everybody around her at all times are scared of her, right? And she just barks as she's coming into this office building. There better be food when I get up there. And then somebody taps on their phone up to the crew, like the office workers who are upstairs in the C-suite or whatever, and they all start freaking out. Like, were you supposed to order food? You were supposed to order food. And it's Jimmy John, so they're all talking super, super fast.
Right.
And I actually miss some of the dialogue. I can't tell what everybody's saying, but essentially everybody's sort of blaming the other. Well, did you order it? No. Did you order it? No. Well, I only ordered on Tuesdays or whatever. And while everybody's freaking out, there's one young man, and he just pulls out his phone casually and tap, tap, taps a Jimmy John's order, gets one sandwich, and he's already got it in hand by the time the boss lady gets off the elevator with her crew, and he just hands her the sandwich.
I don't want to pick nits, but this lady does not eat bread.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, she's a very, very slender Asian woman, and she is not taking any guff from anybody.
There better be food up there, or you're all fired.
Who ordered the food?
You ordered the food.
Don't shut up, me, dude. Paul ordered the food.
But I'm Paul, and I didn't. If we don't get it, she's gonna fire all assistants.
Someone has to take the fall. Tom orders on Tuesday.
Today isn't Tuesday.
Is that Tuesday? Maybe the intern ordered.
There's always someone who's been here 3 hours ordering the food. And
I mean, the chaos upstairs. There's a man hiding under the desk, talking on the telephone, trying to figure out what the food situation is. When you heard the pause in the action, we get a very intense shot of her. She's coming up the elevator. And then there's, like I said, one young man who pulls out his phone and just sort of calmly taps the Jimmy John's app.
Maybe the intern ordered.
There's always someone who's been here 3 hours ordering the food. And we've been here 3 years, and none of us ordered the food.
We see a sandwich being made incredibly quickly, and then as the boss gets off the elevator, the young man's going to hand her a sandwich.
Be fast.
You're my new CEO.
Don't worry, I'm not going to fire you.
And that's the young man at the end who just turns to all of the panic co-workers and says, don't worry, I'm not going to fire you.
What does she do if she appoints the CEO? What's above the CEO? I guess the board.
Founder?
The board chair.
Founder, and yeah, I don't know.
I honestly don't love that one.
I don't either. That's what I mean. Her severity, I wondered about, like, again.
I think she's miscast for one thing.
Yeah.
Not that you can't have a woman boss.
Yeah.
You can, but her line read makes her sound just kind of unserious.
And it's too over the top.
And it's very over the top, and it also kind of... I mean, I understand she's kind of the villain of the piece, but in an era when we're rethinking like what's acceptable ways to treat your employees and like really reexamining how bosses are abusive to people, I don't know. It just something about it lands a little funny for me, like not funny, ha ha ha, just like lands a little weird for me. Not that we can't have mean bosses to make a comedic effect. We surely can, but. There's just something about it that doesn't work for me that well. And I don't think, I'm not going to fire. Like, making him the CEO is weird.
Yeah, that's a weird.
Like, make him the vice president.
I'm going to make you my vice
sandwiches
president.
Sandwiches or something.
I'm just going to make you my vice president.
Sure.
That makes sense. Like, it's right there. It's the second in command.
And then have him react in a way that's somehow more funny. Like, he just says, don't worry, I'm not going to fire everybody. But, like, it would be fun if he, like, was suddenly drunk on power or had some like just had some reaction that was like a little more outsized.
I clicked on the actor's name who plays the boss in that commercial. It looks like her name is Ran Wei, if I'm saying that correctly. The last name
looks
is
like Wei.
Wei, W-E-I. So Ran Wei. And I just wanted to see what other commercials she's been in. She was in this huge send-off commercial for the most interesting man in the world.
Oh,
remember when like Dos Equis made a big deal of like sort of retiring that campaign?
Yeah, they put him on
leaving
an ice floe and sent him off
in there,
into the great blue beyond.
It doesn't even look like she's got a line.
Oh,
but
yeah,
there she is identifiable in this crowd shot. She's like sort of up front and next to another person. Yeah, I didn't like that commercial either. This next one is for Babbel. And I do like it. I don't know if you'll like it or not. I do like this one. I didn't expect there to be a language app commercial that uses like a boss to sell. Like, well, how would that work? The premise of this commercial is bananas to me. I mean, talk about not fitting into the boss trope that we're used to. Again, like boss sitting in the office, being angry, boss storming out of the office, boss coming home for dinner, whatever.
Yeah.
In this one, we just see like a guy who's clearly some sort of a boss. He's very tall, skinny. He has a mustache. And he's walking quickly, and you can sort of tell people are sort of it's unclear like what.
He's also got the classic 80s boss look, which is the suspenders.
That was somebody else, actually. He's wearing a full suit, but he does have an 80s cell phone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's just like a parody. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to take place in the 80s because they're using an app, for starters. But just for laughs, I guess, as he's kind of storming through the lobby, he's got that huge greed is good cell phone up to his
face. The Gordon Gekko cell phone.
Gordon Gekko cell phone, and he's just like kind of like, I think, barking orders to maybe somebody on the phone or whatever. And then we suddenly cut to an elevator. He's headed towards the elevator. In the elevator, again, he's very tall. In the elevator is a very short woman, and I don't know what her original language is, but you see that she's using the Babbel app to learn English or to improve her English, right? And she's very short, and she's got these really big glasses. She's kind of looks like kind of a little bit nerdy, and the boss comes in and stands next to her, and you really notice the difference in their height, and it, you know, it kind of reflects the power difference between them as well. I'll pause and explain what happens after this.
You're wasting my time here, pal. Stop your crying, Johnson, and get the deal done.
The elevator doors close, and then he looks down, literally looks down at this
woman.
This
very sort of Hudsucker Proxy vibe to this production.
I love it. I mean, yelling at Johnson. Didn't I use that as an example earlier?
Yeah.
I need that paperwork now, Johnson. You're wasting my time here, pal. Stop your crying, Johnson, and get the deal done.
Negotiating is a delicate business.
That is the woman who was in the elevator. She was learning English, and she says negotiating is a delicate business. She seems very kind of like a little bit nervous and shy.
What are you, a negotiator or something?
Maybe. Maybe not.
That's negotiating talk.
You should work for me.
He gives her a business card. She thinks about it for a second and holds the card.
Or maybe it would be more profitable if you worked for me.
More negotiating. Business.
Money.
Success.
Handshakes.
They're just shaking.
Business. Money. Handshakes.
Success. Handshakes. And they're just like vigorously shaking each other's hands while you see Babbel. Like, Babbel will help you sort of hone your English so that you can be successful in the business place. This is a weird, this ad is 41 seconds, which makes me think it was like a pre-roll for online. It was a pre-roll for online. It probably didn't air on actual television as we think of it, but like, that charmed the pants off of me. I love both of those actors.
Yeah, I like it too. It's very stylized, but I like her performance a lot.
And just like having it both be him with an 80s phone and 80s music, but she's using Babbel as an app. And there's nothing else that cries one decade or another in that.
Yeah, it's clearly like kind of fanciful.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
I really like it. Sort of timeless and certainly weird. Speaking of weird, these next two are bonkers in their own way. This first one, Genevieve, I don't know what was going on in the 70s, man. This is a commercial supposedly from 1977, although it seems a little bit earlier to me. And talk about bringing the boss home for dinner or whatever. We see two white men, one is older, clearly the boss, in suits, and they're arriving in the employee's front yard or whatever. And suddenly we see his wife, and she's like, oh, there's my husband. Now, behind the wife is a party of about 5 to 10 people. I can't tell if they're her age. I think they're like her age. And they're all just like dancing like a bunch of hippies.
This is, I'm not understanding what's happening here. So.
Nor do I. So, okay, let me just reset this. Woman is at home having apparently a dance party in her yard. And then she sees her husband and his boss show up. Okay, that explains the setup a little bit better.
Oh, no. I tell my husband to bring home the boss, and he brings home his boss. This is the boss I met at the 64-ounce bottle from Pepsi-Cola. Easy shape for handling and just the right size for a crowd of Pepsi drinkers. Lets me pour more than 12 5-ounce servings of great-tasting Pepsi. So if you pour a lot of Pepsi, bring home the boss. The 64-ounce boss, that is, from Pepsi-Cola.
I see. So it makes sense now in context.
So... yeah, but what is? Are these her friends having a dance party, or are these their kids? Are these supposed to be teenagers?
No, I think these are her friends. She's just
having a dance party in the middle of the
afternoon.
She's
entertaining, and the way they decided to pick that is a dance party in the front yard, which is a little weird. But like,
it's a little bit like when the Muppets dance, or like when the Charlie Brown crew starts dancing. It's just like out of the blue, they're just like waving their arms around, like having this weird daytime dance party.
They're just having a little dance party, and she told her husband to bring home a 2-liter of soda, which Pepsi has branded as the boss.
Yeah.
And he misunderstood. But then, happily, his old white boss, like, has a Pepsi and starts dancing with these, like, young hippies.
I found it to be pretty confusing. Then this next one is also old, though not that old. This is from 1996, and this gives me a bad feeling. And maybe it's because I'm the one drawing all the dirty pictures. Maybe like I thought it was going somewhere. I mean, it's definitely not empowering, I'll tell you that much.
So, okay. I'm prepared for that.
We see an office place, right? And it's the 90s. You're starting to see those big monitored computers or whatever. And we see a young woman. And also, like, she seems pretty dang young. And she's clearly the intern. And some kind of middle-aged guy comes up to her and inquires about the work that she's doing. And she brags about getting some sort of a, I think it's the Staples catalog or something. She's like, oh, I got this Staples catalog. It's really going to improve efficiency around here or something like that. And then, you know what? I'm just going to let you watch it, Genevieve, and then we'll kind of back announce what we saw happen.
Are you the new intern?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Kind of a cost analysis. I think we're spending too much on office supplies, and I found a way to save us a lot of money.
Now he gets this weird look on his face.
You know what? There's another project I need you for.
Okay.
Now, cut to, she is scrubbing the office refrigerator. She's on her hands and knees and scrubbing the office refrigerator.
This is going to save us a lot of money. Good thinking.
Thanks.
I'm almost done.
Oh, I see you've met my daughter.
So the whole point of this is...
He steals the intern's work.
He steals the intern's work, tells her to go clean out the refrigerator, takes the idea to the boss. He doesn't realize that the intern is the boss's daughter.
And this will definitely be getting back to the boss.
What's that?
And this whole interaction will be getting back to the boss.
Well, he is the boss. He sees it.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to...
Oh, I see.
He doesn't know why she's scrubbing out their fridge, and he doesn't know yet that she was the instigator of this... like cost savings, but he is going to find out because she's his daughter.
Yes, I guess that's true too. Although even just as the boss, wouldn't you be like, why is my daughter on her hands and knees in a skirt, like scrubbing out the company fridge? Like,
he doesn't have a huge reaction to it when he sees it, but he is going to find out.
I think
is there any chance, this is a little off topic, but is there any chance the actor who plays the intern is Marissa Janet Wanoker? She was, I think she like kind of got famous for, I think she was in like the Broadway version of Hairspray, maybe.
Somebody here says that is Senta Moses as the young intern.
Oh, maybe not.
Oh, you know what? This is one of the actors who's in it. The guy who plays the skeezy employee weighed in on YouTube 3 years ago and says, that's me with the glasses, and it's Senta Moses as the young intern.
Yeah,
I love, this has happened on some of the commercials, and if you Google her, you'll see that she seems to have an IMDb profile as well, although I'm having trouble seeing. She has not been in anything that I recognize. Beekman's World, was that a TV show for kids, maybe? She was in 1999's Tequila Body Shots.
She was in Home Alone. She was in My So-Called Life.
Oh, okay.
I recognize her. She's one of those actors who, like, she's a bit of a that girl.
Oh, okay. And yeah. So that's who it is. I love it, though, when actors are like, I've posted commercials from around here that I found on VHS tapes to YouTube. And I think it was like an Outback Steakhouse commercial. A woman who was a young woman in the 90s with long, red, curly hair commented. She's like, oh, that was me. That was one of my first commercial jobs.
Yeah, it's so
that's
fun.
That's cool. Yeah.
And we found that lady who was the vet who was in the Purina, the dog chow commercial with her pugs.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah. And we corresponded.
Yeah.
And she happened to be from, like, not just the Cleveland area, but, like, specifically the area I grew up in.
Right.
In the exurbs of Cleveland. It's bananas. You know, we got to call our guest, and I shouldn't extend this even more. This is why I say maybe I'm drawing all the dirty pictures. There was something about, especially it's the 90s, we think of young women interns.
It was a big decade for young women interns, especially with dark curly hair.
Yes, and the idea of like them being sort of sexualized in this way. And this guy gets this look on his face, and we realize he's stealing the idea, but I just sort of got this lecherous vibe from him, sort of. And then her, like, literally, like, the job he gives her is to be down on her knees in a skirt. And again, it's not shot specifically grossly or anything. There aren't any like kind of male gaze camera shots on her, but like, I don't know. That's why I say, like, maybe that's just on me and baggage I'm carrying to this commercial, but it seemed a little icky to me.
You know, I don't think it certainly was the overt intention of the commercial makers. I understand where your take is coming from, and it may just be that that is there in the culture, and it's just so baked into the culture that the commercial makers also were like operating with that in the consciousness.
Almost subconsciously.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, because I see where you're coming from, but I don't think there's nothing to literally hang it on in the ad that could be that's overtly like sexualized or skeevy.
Yeah.
It's very obviously he's a dirtbag because he's stealing work and making her do like scut work.
Vives, can I change the conversation to an area that I'm much more comfortable talking about?
Sure.
Of course, I'm talking about basketball.
Right.
Of course, I'm joking. I know nothing about basketball. I don't know much about much, but basketball is an especially big blind spot
right.
for
it's
me.
It's below the mean, I think, for you.
Exactly. Now, don't you be below the mean to me. But of course, I do listen to a lot of just like talk radio, sports radio, just kind of constantly on. I love the patter. So I'll pick up on little bits and pieces of things. And, you know, we kind of have an ongoing joke with our friend Nick that I'll know details of a player, but I have no idea what team the player even plays for.
Right. You'll just know things about like their reputation off the court.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, I picked up on from, again, just sort of background radio listening, that there was a commercial that I believe debuted during the NBA playoffs, which are ongoing, if I understand it correctly. We'll get clarity on that too, sure. Hopefully in a second or two. But it was unclear to me what was irritating people about this commercial. I will say that I think it's my understanding that it's not the commercial itself that irritates people, that it started off fine. People thought it was cute or whatever, but it's just been played into the ground, which may or may not be a phenomenon during the basketball playoffs every year, the NBA playoffs. But let me describe to you what we're about to see. Maybe you even have some insight, Vs. Maybe you're picking up on some of these
highly
cultural
doubtful
references that I don't get.
I will tell you that every week when I take the New York Times news quiz, I miss one question, and it is almost always the basketball question.
I'm right there with you. So what we see are two very tall, attractive young men leaving some sort of a fancy building. Now, it is my understanding that these men are basketball men.
Probably.
I don't know who they are, and I haven't looked it up. I have no idea who they are or what teams they play for. But they are walking down the set of stairs from the lobby of this nice hotel or whatever this is. I'm assuming maybe it's a place where the players stay when they're traveling for playoffs. I don't know. Anyway, these two fellas are talking to each other about the AT&T plan. I think AT&T texts one of them something, and he's like, oh, man, they really know what we need. And then they start talking about knowing what a pro wants.
AT&T just sent me a heads up on the best plan for me.
That's cool.
They know what a pro wants.
What a pro needs.
Whatever makes me happy.
Sets you free.
And I'm thanking you for knowing exactly what a pro wants, what a pro needs. Whatever makes me happy sets me free.
Good. A little bit flat. It'll get better.
AT&T provides...
So, first of all, those guys, I don't know who they are. Charming as hell, though. And then as they board the bus, one of them says, pretty good, but we'll get better at that.
Right.
But you, I saw you singing along to that song, so you already know more than I do about
this. Yeah, I'm not surprised that you don't know that song, but it's they're riffing on What a Girl Wants.
Okay.
Which I'm so embarrassed to say, I can't remember. It was like a young white pop star who did What a Girl Wants, and I'm blanking on who it was.
Okay, well, as we get our friend and, after these messages, basketball and culture correspondent Nick Jaran on the
Christine
line.
Oh, Christine Aguilera.
Here. Oh, okay. Can you grab that bell in front of you? And we are going to say hello to Nick. And then as Nick explains this commercial for us, I want you to ring the bell every time I got something right.
Okay.
All right, Nick. Thank you again for joining us to explain basketball and just generally life in these United States to us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Very happy to be here. It's funny. I was thinking about those State Farm commercials, and I was like, am I just being summoned by the word basketball now and
yes!
just popping into your living room with you?
That's right. The last time you were on, we were talking about how the basketball people of
like
all
a good friend,
stripes,
though, Nick Jaran is there.
Exactly. Just pop onto the scene with the word basketball or foul, I believe was another one. So, Nick, what's going on here? Is it true that people are annoyed by this commercial?
Yeah, I think it was even trending on Twitter one night of the NBA playoffs. So the setup is, which is hilarious because I couldn't actually remember what they were advertising. I just remember the ad itself.
Uh-huh.
There's Shea Gilgeous-Alexander on the left, a likely runner-up for MVP this year, having a fantastic season. And the taller, whiter one on the right is Chet Holmgren, runner-up rookie of the year. So two of the young stars of the league. Shea, kind of known for being very stylish. Chet, obviously the rookie under his wing, and honestly kind of dressed like him in this ad as well, which I thought was kind of funny. They play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. nay Seattle Supersonics.
Oh.
And they're in the... Yeah. They're in the second round of the playoffs right now.
They should be our boys.
They should be. Mm-hmm. They really should be. Plus, Shea's Canadian. You know, he should be farther north than Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But, and Chet went to Gonzaga, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, he's a Washington guy.
Look at that. I do want to say, you know, in all seriousness, obviously I don't know anything about basketball, but I do, like, sort of through this, like, radio osmosis thing, I'm usually hearing people's names a lot. Neither one of those names ring any bells for me at all. Don't ring the bell.
No bell.
I said it didn't.
Wow. Doesn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. So, like, it's funny, like, I guess I just catch wind of guys when they have something going on, maybe off the court, good or bad or something. Are these guys, like, in the culture much?
Not really. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like I said, he's going to be a runner-up for MVP, but that's a team that doesn't get very many national games. Chet Holmgren was in the conversation for Rookie of the Year for, like, a month until it was very clear that Victor Wembanyama, who has an excellent Nike ad right now, I don't know if you almost covered that yet, but he won Rookie of the Year by putting up a stat line that literally no one ever has in the in the league ever before. So,
and
yeah,
he,
they don't get
Wembanyama,
talked about
like, even him, I can Wembanyama, he's like super, super tall, right? And is this like his second year in the league or something?
7'5".
Yeah, okay, and relatively
year.
Young. Oh, this is his first year, yeah. So I'm not trying to flex here, but yeah, like a lot of these guys I've heard of, but these two, I swear I had not heard those names until you just mentioned them. Was I right that it's not necessarily this commercial itself that's annoying people, but it's the kind of, you know, saturation of it?
Yeah, you know, so for people who don't watch the NBA, it's not like the NFL or like other live programming where, you know, there's a lot of new ads all the time and maybe there's a pretty good variety and kind of innocuous truck ads and stuff like that. NBA fans, we get a lot of cable TV. So we get a lot of like repeat ads for things that we're never going to use. I once watched a game on NBA TV that had a catheter ad in it. And I was like,
don't say never say never, Nick.
I mean, God willing. but yeah, a
you
lot
might be glad
of
to know
ads.
Of a like, great brand of catheters one day.
That's true. I might. I'll have the NBA to thank.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get these ads played into the ground. So this one, What a Pro Wants, you know, the first time you see it, kind of charming. You know, they're off key. Mm-hmm. Like Shea says in the ad, they're flat. But, you know, they're being charming young lads in this ad. So why not? There's a couple others as well. There's a Wingstop ad that has the sound, the song No Flex Zone by Ray Shrimmert in it, which is played into the ground now. And like that was a charting pop song like 10 years ago. But now I hear the same clip of it every like stoppage in the game, basically. There's another, like everyone with songs in them are the ones that really stick in my mind. And sure enough, other NBA fans too have been tweeting about their displeasure at having to sit through yet another What a Pro Wants ad. And also it has nothing to do with what they're advertising either. Like it seems like they walked onto the set and were like, what do you guys want to do? And we're just riffing until they settled on this. And it's partly like that lack of polish as well that I think also gets at NBA fans because we're used to not having like NFL levels of production, but this one in particular really puts it in our face that like, nah, you're stuck with this one until like the end of June.
I think their performances are sweet, but I totally get where you and other fans are coming from because it does feel kind of tossed off, very kind of half-assed. The song that they sing, their version of the song that they sing, it's like funny that they're off key the first time, but by the 50th time I would be very sick of hearing it. Mm-hmm. And I hear you, like it just feels like really, really just like sort of loose and unconnected. And to have to go through, to see that hundreds of times sometimes is so maddening. And yeah, like you say, compared to the NFL where you have these incredible, like commercials that really rival like Super Bowl ads in terms of their star power and their production quality and their writing quality on a regular season NFL game, that's very different from what this is.
Mm-hmm. Completely. And I think
I'm going to give myself a bell.
Yeah, I was about to say, where is the bell for that one?
I mean,
and the Christina Aguilera song also, that's off of her self-titled album from 1998. which is also the year that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was born.
Yeah, it's a 25-year-old pop song.
So that's a really old song. Yeah. I thought it was a new song, you guys.
Oh, Andrew.
It still feels new to me.
How do you not know?
That was, no, fun fact, that was actually the first CD I ever bought.
Oh, my God.
What? Really? Do you know your first CD, Genevieve?
Yeah.
It was a collection of 13 CDs for a penny from Columbia House, featuring a lot of R.E.M.
Incredible.
Okay, R.E.M. Yeah. That's good. Mine was Pearl Jam's 10 was my first CD. It was relatively new then. That is pretty amazing.
But you really don't recognize What a Girl Wants as a as a pop song?
No.
Wow. I mean, it was a big hit.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
But you were also, that would put you, that would have been right in the heart of like your absolute cultural, the absolute apex of your, or maybe I should say nadir of your
nadir.
Cultural snobbery.
Exactly. Like, I was in college at the time. I was only listening to either, like, you know, the weird stuff I like from the 60s and 70s, or, you know, alternative-y kind of stuff, or Sonic Youth, or punk rock, or, like, whatever. I don't know. But I was not listening to the... I don't even know if I had a radio then. So, yeah, that's a huge blind spot for me. Now, speaking of music, I was debating whether or not to do this, Nick, before we let you go. This may be the biggest mistake I've ever made. Here's what we're going to do. I am going to dial up a timer right here.
Well, this is live, so lots of pressure.
I'm going to put a timer on my phone. I didn't tell you that I might do this to you. And I am going to ask for you. I'm going to give them 2 minutes, Genevieve.
Okay.
Nick, give me 2 minutes or less on Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
Oh,
go.
Yeah, this is great.
Don't eat into his time. Go.
Okay. Okay, 2 minutes. Wow. Okay, so this goes back a very long time, way back to, I think, 2012, when Drake actually had Kendrick Lamar as one of the openers on his tour. Now, fast forward some years, they've reached a different place in both of their careers, and they start taking subliminal shots at each other in songs, saying, like, you know, the basic rapper, I'm the greatest, no, I'm the greatest, you know exactly who I'm talking to type stuff. Now, this all escalates more recently because Megan Thee Stallion put out a song, Hiss, where she took like 8 straight shots at Drake, and then one shot that could be confused as being towards Nicki Minaj, and that kind of diverted that thing. About a month after that, Kendrick is on the Metro Boomin and Future album, where he has a verse where he takes direct shots at both Drake and J. Cole, saying, it's not the big three, it's just me. Drake responds and then starts posting memes into his Instagram story like, ah, ha, ha, where you at, Kendrick? Like, let's see the response. A bunch of other people jump in on Kendrick's side because it's now safe to take shots at Drake. Rick Ross from Miami being one of them, among a bunch of other people. And then what happens this week is possibly the greatest and loudest rap feud of all time, definitely of like my adulthood, where you have Kendrick responding and then responding again, so doubling down on it, and then Drake releasing his response, which was, you know, it had a video to go with it. He went and bought or rented a van that looked exactly like the one on Kendrick's first album cover for A Good Kid, Mad City. Really, like, just dripping in symbolism, and I think my 2 minutes is up.
How can you tell? Now, do you want to stick? I was telling Vives at the beginning of the show that I'm very excited about an email that came into our inbox and the journey it took me on today. Do you want to stick around for that, or do you have to go?
Oh, I can stick around for that if you don't mind having me. I'm happy to be here.
Not at all. Let's get into it.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind.
All right, so last week on the show, as I'm sure you remember, Genevieve, we got a voicemail from listener Max, who just sang a jingle for us, because we love it when people call our voicemail line and sing us little jingles that get stuck in their head. And the jingle that Max sang is a very short one that people, certainly in this part of the country, and I don't know if it's across the country, know very well. It's for the auto glass repair company, Safe Light.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace is the jingle.
Yes.
Got this voicemail from Mark in Burnaby, British Columbia. So notably, not from the United States. Hey, Ad Wizards, says Mark. I heard the SafeLight jingle a listener phoned in with recently, and it just sounded off to me. I know that jingle, but I have never heard of SafeLight. It should be Speedy Glass. What is this SafeLight nonsense? I guess it turns out Speedy Glass in Canada here uses an almost identical jingle. Take a listen to this. Speedy Glass against. Have you ever heard of Speedy Glass?
No.
Nick, have you heard of Speedy Glass?
I had never heard of that.
But you're familiar with the SafeLight jingle, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So so our listener Mark says, are these companies linked in some way? Has there been IP trafficking? Can it simply be a coincidence? Are coincidences even real anymore? These are questions for experts.
Is this some sort of Best Foods, Hellman situation?
Exactly. And so I did a little bit of digging. You know, I typed SafeLight Wikipedia into Google, which is my version of digging. And according to Wikipedia, in 2007, SafeLight, which by the way is based in Ohio somewhere, I want to say the Dayton area, in 2007, SafeLight was acquired by Belron, a Luxembourg-based company, which is in turn owned by another parent group. Belron is the world's largest vehicle glass company, providing service in 32 different countries.
Wow, so congratulations, not just, Belron.
Yes, doing well for yourself. And nothing sounds corporate or overlordy more than Belron.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is all just like a reminder that everything's owned by like four companies.
They were really bummed that Globochem was already taken, unfortunately. I looked up Belron on Wikipedia. Belron International Limited is a British vehicle glass repair and replacement company operating in 34 countries, employing a hell of a lot of people. I'm paraphrasing here. Their brands include Autoglass in the UK, Ireland, and Poland, Carglass in Europe, O'Brien Auto Glass in Australia, SafeLight in the United States, Smith and Smith in New Zealand, and Speedy Glass in Canada. So then
I thought, sleep on LeBeau. They also own LeBeau.
And LeBeau in Canada as well. So all of those companies do the same thing in different parts of the world, and they're all owned by Belron. And so I was like, oh, so could I just like look up, like, let's say the UK version, which is called Auto Glass, and I found this 20-second commercial.
Got a chip? Book a repair in just a few minutes. Done before your program starts. Enter your reg, tell us where, select your date and time, and we make your windscreen strong again. A vehicle repair could be as little as a tenner. And sometimes even free. Book online at autoglass.co.uk.
Autoglass repair, autoglass replace.
Chills.
Chills.
So then I'm like, well, they own like all these different companies in 34 different countries. Well, let me just keep on Googling and see how many I can find. It did not take long.
Windscreen repair, windscreen replace.
Before I found this, and you guys, I'm going to play the whole thing. Nick, sorry, stay on the line. This is 2 minutes and 17 seconds of Belron jingles from around the world already compiled for us by somebody on YouTube.
Carlos hersteld, Carlos vervangt.
Belgium.
Carlos hersteld, Carlos vervangt.
Belgium again.
Carlos repart, Carlos remplace.
French Belgium.
Carlos repart, Carlos remplace. Carlos repara, Carlos troca.
Brazil.
Speedy glass against.
Speedy glass repair. Speedy glass replace. Speedy glass repair. Speedy glass replace.
Le pour repair.
This is French Canadian.
Le pour repair. Le pour remplace.
Carlos repara, Carlos amieni.
Carlos
repair. Carlos replace.
Carglass by Galdop, Carglass for Andop,
Carglass Korea, Carglass White.
By the way, if U.S. psyops are not using this video to make people talk.
We should.
They are really missing it.
I don't want to give anyone any ideas, but if any universities want people to stop camping on their campuses, I have a great idea.
Just put this on a loop.
We're
going to be getting into some French here too, Vives, which I thought you might appreciate because we already heard
the
French Canada, but I think we're going to hear French.
Carglass répare, Carglass remplace. Carglass repariert, Carglass tauscht aus. Carglass repariert, Carglass tauscht aus. Carglass repariert, Carglass tauscht aus.
Carglass επισκευάζει, Carglass αντί, καρτιστά.
Carglass ιωβίτ, Carglass τσέριλ.
Carglass ρυπάρα, Carglass σωστιτουίσε.
That's Lithuania, by the way. We heard Greece in there.
Now that one's funky.
Nice. That one slaps. Here's New Zealand.
Smith and Smith Repair. Smith and Smith Replace. Smith and Smith Repair. Smith and Smith Replace.
Autoglas naprawia, autoglas wymienia.
Carglass repara, Carglass substytuj.
Carglass remont, Carglass zamiena.
Carglass poprawi, Carglass zamienia.
Carglass cambia, Carglass repara.
Carglass cambia, Carglass repara.
I would also say that Spain brings it with those.
Yeah.
I like that. Here's Switzerland, the French version.
Carglass repara, Carglass remplace.
Carglass repariert, Carglass duscht aus.
Carglass unleger, Carglass yeniler.
Autoglass repair, Autoglass replace.
Safe light repair, safe light replace.
I am a changed person.
Yes. I saw Croatia in there. We're going to Croatia in the fall. We got to listen for
it. Exactly. We should do a thing on Croatian commercials before we go. So anyway, I told everybody that was going to be a mind-bending segment, and then about halfway through playing all of that, I'm just like, everybody who stuck around for that hates me now. But I was truly blown away that somebody compiled all of those.
I love it.
Yeah. What do you got down there, Nick? Can you sing it as it's sung by Texans? I assume there's a yeehaw in there somewhere.
Stay flat repair. Stay flat replace.
Well, your game, if nothing else. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us, Nick. That was a lot of fun, man.
Good to talk with you, Nick.
Of course. Love you guys.
You can sell anything. You can sell anything.
Well, Genevieve, I know it was a long show, but I have one more file here that's 45 minutes of people singing Safe Light Repair. Do we have time for it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sounds good. Maybe we'll tack it to the end of the show. That was a fun show. Thanks again to our pal Nick for joining us and explaining basketball and rap to me. You guys can join the fun, please. Again, Mark loved that email.
Anybody
wants to be like Mark, email us after these messages show at gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo and send it in that way. Again, it's after these messages show at gmail.com. Our voicemail line, you can call us directly at 607-444-5597. That's 607-444-5597. You can sing all kinds of jingles there. Maybe you want to tackle the French one. Or the Belgian one.
Sure.
Or the Croatian one.
Yeah, I mean, the Greek one was a real tongue twister, so
it
go for
was,
that.
It was, yeah. 607-444-5597. You can check us out on our YouTube page where I upload occasional videos that I find on VHS tapes, commercials that I find on those tapes. And, of course, we have a Facebook group where everybody's chatting about these commercials. That's right. Everybody's chatting about these commercials. Look for After These Messages Show on Facebook. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Red octagons couldn't stop me. I burn head. Band. My eyes all droopy.